Welcome in, my friends, to a show that we've never done before. We've never tried this. This will be a funky experiment. We are going live on YouTube after the first episode of the Bears Hard Knocks. This is live from the Five Hole, and it's actually live. I'm Sam Fells, your host. We are here with the usual crew in Fatal Four-Way Formation. Of course, it's a big night. So leading off, he's Dr. Viral. He's the biggest jackass, no talent in the business. And he's the CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 Central. He's Andrew Cieslak.
I also share a birthday with O.J. Simpson.
Do you really?
No.
I didn't think so. He is working the ones and twos for us tonight. He made all of this possible. We are very appreciative of that fact. He's our technical supervisor and our supervising technician. He's Matt McClure.
I try, and I share a birthday with Adolf Hitler.
You do. That
and
I know.
And weed.
Happy and birthday, weed.
And last but not least, he is the Oracle of Humboldt Park. He's the goal line assassin. And not only is he doing this podcast red and nude, he's doing it with his head through the drywall. It's Fifth Feather John.
We've got all the hamsters on the wheels, Sam. So we're all set.
Good. Welcome in to anyone who's joining us. Slack, am I allowed to use the term nasty casty for anyone who's listening to this later, as we will be releasing it as a normal podcast when we are done?
No. because it's our primary format. I don't think we can.
Okay, that is our primary format. So we love all of you who listen to it as a podcast.
I think we're not in a state where we can call any of our listeners names except for cretins, which is a term of endearment.
It's a term of endearment around here.
Exactly.
Before we get into any official review, I just want to say to the HBO producers, I am impressed that they recognize the danger to their lives. Had they not included the Gale Sayers 18 inches of daylight cut and immediately put it in the opening credits because John was loading up his shield and spear to head out to Lake Forest tomorrow.
He did not get it. Mullet lame, motherfuckers.
Kidnapping canceled.
So if you ever wanted a sequel to Troy, it would have been John raiding Lake Palace Hall tomorrow if he did not get his Gale Sayers clip.
Look, now they knew what I wanted. They knew what I wanted, Sam, and they gave it to me in the first 10 goddamn seconds of the show.
They gave it to you in the 10 seconds. So disaster averted, and now you know you'll get it all 4 weeks.
That's right, and I could watch it stress-free after that. You know, yeah. I wasn't on pins and needles waiting for it the whole episode. I could relax and just enjoy the whole thing.
Yeah, I appreciate how they got all of that bearsness, that history. Just put it in the opening credits. I don't need it during the meeting, the meat of the program. Just put it up front, get me excited, and then I can watch what it is you want to put out there.
Pack my asshole with Bears history.
Indeed. Well,
I will say, because of John's comment, the famous text thread is now in the CIA's hands as they examine potential evidence of future crimes.
Well, that's until Apple upgrades to go to RCS, and then we're end-to-end encrypted.
Nerd talk.
Nerd.
Android bitch.
You want? Anyway, I'll leave that for another time. I'll just go around the horn here. Let's start pretty easy. Let's just do everyone's favorite moment from this episode. I know that's pretty rote and unimaginative, but I feel like it's a good way to start slowly getting into the pool, even though John's already neck deep in the pool. Well, John, we'll start with you.
Okay. Well, the Gale Sayers thing was obviously
that's its own part, category.
But that goes without saying. I think the Jonathan Owens Simone Biles relationship, FaceTiming, showing their pups. They got a dipe dog, which is outstanding. I don't know.
Dipe dog is going to come up multiple times this season.
And I don't know.
Your dipe dog's tits.
I don't know if anybody else caught it. I'm sure people caught it. But when he was watching her, when he got back to Lake Forest, I assume that's where they're living.
Yeah.
And he's watching her in the Olympics, and you see out of the shot, you see one of his dog's paws, like, outstretched because he's
yawning,
passed out on the couch with his paws up in the air, and they caught, like, his one hoof. That was probably my favorite part, where you see his little dog's hoof in the corner, paws up. There
dog
you go.
Corner. Dog corner.
Dog corner.
Dipe dogs.
Dipe dog corner.
Dipe dog corner. We might have to rename this podcast. Matt, let's go to you.
I was very thrilled to see the stretch of Town Line Road, Route 60, Jalen driving, again, black guy in a slingshot. One of mine in slacks.
Hawthorne Mall, my friends.
But no. One of mine and Slack's favorite games to play via text is spotting white guys that are driving slingshots, actually. But no, I drove that exact stretch of 60 today to get my Popeye's lunch. He was right.
And you haven't seen the slingshot?
No, I haven't seen Jalen's slingshot yet. But no, the Popeye's that is just west of Butterfield Road and the train tracks there on 60.
Yeah, that was a fun part. I enjoyed seeing how tiny his car was. That was even small for a slingshot.
Yeah, that was something else, I think.
It was pretty fucking sweet, though.
Yeah.
Nice ride. At least for a hot, warm day like this. Or whenever. I mean, it was warm all last week when they were filming, so. Slack?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed a lot of it. I think the thing that stuck out to me the most, I highlighted it because I took notes like I'm on a business call.
Mm-hmm. But mine
like you were hosting double dudes.
Exactly. I thought I was really intrigued, or I shouldn't say intrigued. I was not impressed isn't the right word either, but they alluded to struggles that rookies will have because of expectations. And they even showed Manning, if you remember, making those comparisons about his 28 picks. He's 1-15. They said this might be a struggle, and they never once said because it's a Bears quarterback. I give them credit for not saying, because it's the Bears, which would have been very easy for them to do.
Right, more of a general, it's hard for a rookie quarterback.
Correct, with expectations.
It has nothing to do with some mystery aura.
Yes, they treated him just like any other guy.
Fucking, I mean, obviously, yes, best to ever do it, and all football coaches are sociopaths, but Jesus Christ, is fucking Saban high on his own supply?
We'll get to Nick Saban. We're going to get to that in a second. My moment, and Slack will be upset about this.
I'm always upset, so that's not really saying much.
That's my secret.
So I don't want to read too deeply into it, but it's the DJ Moore contract extension.
Here we go.
And
I knew it. I wrote it down.
You did.
It's in the notepad.
So it Kevin is. Warren's going over the terms of it. And They have a shot of Ryan Poles. And the look on his face kind of says, we already went over this.
There you go.
Right?
Okay. To be fair, what job has anyone ever had where their dumb fuck boss didn't stroll into a room 20 minutes late
and
pretend like everything was his idea?
Right. No, I'm not even going there, Slack. I'm not even saying it was Kevin Warren's trying to claim it was his idea. He's just going through the terms, and like the look on Ryan Poles' face is like, I explained this already.
Right.
He was vamping.
Yeah. Am I wrong?
I knew you were going to read into that scene,
I'm
Sam.
Just glad you guys
and that's
got
why
your
I love you. And that's why I love you.
I mean,
you.
I'm looking for it. I'm obviously looking for it. I'm obviously until bullshit team presidents are like my wheelhouse. I get it. I made a living off doing that for another organization in town.
It did feel very orchestrated and scripted the way laying out the lines of the deal. And
I know they quote unquote, it's a documentary, but obviously things are set up. I'm not going to say staged, but they're arranged, you know, like they wanted this.
Like, they're going to be there. Do you want in on it? Yeah.
But it's
you mean there weren't just cameras in Jonathan Owen's living room. Is that what you're trying to say?
It's mutual. Like, hey, we're going to have this extension. HBO's like, well, can we get it? Can we get, you know, this? Can we use this? It's mutually beneficial. I get it. I'm just saying, look at Ryan Poles' face. It's just like, yeah, we went over this. Like, what else do you need to know? You know, I came to you and I said, these are the numbers.
On this, were
you
the looking day for him of to your pull daughter's a, wedding.
On the day of my daughter's wedding.
Were you looking for him to pull a Matt Groening's 138th episode spectacular where he pulled out a shotgun and says, get out of my office?
Absolutely. That's exactly what I wanted.
While the lick, swallow, suck bottle of tequila and the lemon are out.
And look, as we go through the next three episodes, I'm just going to pick out Kevin Warren's stuff to piss off Slack. I'm just going to do it because that's who I am.
It's great.
But I enjoyed the episode, and I enjoyed that. But it was like there was a look on Ryan Poles' face. It was just like, yes, 110 million. Yes, 82 guaranteed. Yes, yes, 4 years. Yes, like we did this.
Yeah, he signed it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, he's a good player. Yep.
It's like kind of the same look my girlfriend's nephew had about his multiplication tables. I already did this. Why are we doing this again? Anyway, this is the point where I just turn it over to John and Slack because they have copious notes, although John's notes might be somewhat stained.
They are.
But, again, there's not much to be read into this. Like, you're going to learn a little about the Bears, but I don't know how much important you're going to learn. But it's going to be fun. Like, it's fun to learn about these guys' personalities who you might not have known before. It's going to attach you to the team. You know, is there going to be anything meaty you take into the season? I doubt it, but it makes you excited. It's fun to see the jerseys on the field. It's, you know, all that stuff. But anyway, John, Slack, take it away.
All right.
Let's get him, John.
So we'll start from the top, right after the Gale.
Also, starting with the architecture cruise view, basically.
That was a little weird. That was a little weird.
No, that gets me every time. Like, that view, like, down the river.
No. But I'm saying the scripted architecture cruise of the Bears going down the boat and then...
Oh, the people on the bridge?
The 30 paid actors that they had.
No, John, I don't think they're paid actors. I think they just sent out a notice. Hey, the Bears are going to be the architecture crews, and people just showed up on the bridge. Like, that's all it takes in this town. All right.
Better than bus on the bridge.
That was Kinsey. I don't know if that's where they were, but anyway.
So we had Cole Kmet in a Chuggo t-shirt.
Yeah, we did.
Not the first pitch at Wrigley. And Andrew, I think you had some feedback on his
I did. Yeah. For those who didn't notice, first of all, I think everybody knows that he's a local guy, Viator kid, right? This is Arlington Heights. When he threw the pitch, it was a good pitch. I didn't know he was a lefty. And he came out and
throws left, bats right, though, based on his celebration. So,
yep, absolutely. I think he was a baseball player in high school. I could be wrong. He gives the pantsless Clark the Cub a little hug, and he says, "The only way that we know how, appreciate you."
That's exactly right.
And the nation got to hear just how we talk.
It should also be noted Staley the Bear is pantsless as well.
Excellent.
That's how we like our mascots.
A tradition unlike any mascots. Other. Take your goddamn pants off, Bear.
So that was the first thing, I think the first scene, and then they kind of flipped to the Eberflus mansion up on the lake somewhere.
Let's call it an estate.
In a manor.
A manor.
It's quite nice.
But it looks it's bordering on Connor McDavid, the Patrick Bateman levels of sterility and psychopathy.
No question, because I'm sure they rent it or the Bears put them up there. Right. But either way. and then we get the clip of Eberflus talking to the team. And as a true meatball panderer, he dropped some grinders in there.
He did. Some grinder no fear rules. Some no fear some slogans.
Grinder rules
for everybody.
We're grinding. Aussie ball.
We're grinding. This is the Bear season. Diped and grinding.
Remember, he said, "Losing games doesn't make losers. It's losing habits that make losers."
That's think losing games is a losing habit.
Some would say, Sam.
Some might say.
You're hearing it more and more.
But no, I mean, it's fine. Like, I enjoy seeing the behind-the-scenes stuff with Eberflus, even if he is kind of corny or whatever. You know, I don't want to make fun of him too much because, hey, look, this is the first time we've ever seen the Bears do this. And it almost makes me wonder, like, why they were so scared of doing this in the first place for so long. Because
everyone
it's
looks
really
good.
Not that bad. Yeah.
Everyone looks cool. Good, yes. Yeah. It's for a first episode, everybody came out looking pretty solid. I'm certainly fired up. I enjoyed the whole thing, and
it's certainly not looking as much like an asshole as that guy in New York.
Right. Yes. No.
Not DeBull, but the but
slouching in his meetings with players.
Yeah. No, DeBull looks like an asshole,
or the GM catering to the coach and stuff like that. Like, Poles is pretty much out of the. I mean, he's in the periphery in a lot of the episode. I don't think they ever talked to him.
In his office.
Yeah, looming.
He'll get his moments, I'm sure.
Maybe. Well, maybe
they
not,
had
Sam.
They had a little bit on the trade, so that was kind of his flowers moment, right?
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes, like, with the Giants one, like, let's say, but I've seen other ones where the GM has a more of a starring role, and I think he's just hung the not interested sign on doing that.
Yeah, the Dolphins won. They gave a lot of...
Well, see, I'm flying a little blind here because I haven't watched a Hard Knocks in many a year, and I only caught the last two episodes of the Giants one because I'm sitting around doing nothing these days. I think the last one I watched regularly was the Jets one with Ryan. But it still sticks to the same formula, clearly. I feel like this is what it always looks like, isn't it? Yeah, it's curious they were so scared of it because they're not here to make anyone look stupid. That's not, you know,
if you look stupid, it's your own fault.
If you look stupid on the, yeah, exactly. If you look stupid, it's because you're hanging yourself by your own rope. But anyway.
Yeah, and then we got to the clip I think that everybody's going to be talking about whenever they give their feedback on the episode is when they started playing the Bulls intro music, and they brought out Ray Clay from his crypt.
I just found that confusing.
It was
where
corny.
The fuck did they find him? That was super corny.
Are they going to be using that at Soldier Field, or is that just a Hard Knocks only thing?
I think it was a Hard Knocks only thing because they had some clip where they compared Caleb to M. Jeff.
Right.
Where
I thought they could have just played the song and not done the in studio work from Mr.
or
Clay.
Whatever it was. Yeah. And so then they pulled Ray Clay from the crypt and they said, hey, can you do
Ray
this?
Crypt.
And he was like, great.
He'll take
$5.
Yeah.
$5. That's my rate these days. And
like in Dirty Work where Norm goes, here's your $2.
So that was corny as hell. However, the slow-mo of Caleb's throws almost gave me a heart attack in my chair. I was like Tyson Bajan just doing the vibrations, watching those slow-mo spirals and everything.
Ghost.
Yeah, yeah. Just seeing all of those perfect dimes being dropped all across
dimes.
Hallis Field or whatever they call their practice facility.
Hallis
Hall, isn't it?
Hallis Hall, yeah.
Hallis Hall.
Or the field called something different.
Yeah, whatever the field is called. So I really love that part. That would probably be my third or fourth favorite part of the episode, was just that slow-mo montage scene of Caleb just doing his thing.
Yeah, he was getting hyped up. He was throwing the ball. Liev says the kid's got skills, but he's still a rookie. And then they have him announce his signing bonus to the entire team.
Right. And then, Andrew, I think this is where you started to go a little bit off the rails.
I did.
You were getting a little nervous there because they started talking about how much Caleb sucks.
They
and
did.
Showing like clips of him throwing picks and, you know, nobody's tracking his practice stats to tweet them out like they are doing up in Minnesota. But apparently they're probably not as good as what J.J. McCarthy's doing. Either way, HBO, to me, the way I felt that they were trying to, what they were trying to do is they were trying to, you know, kind of like start them from the ground and then build them back up, you know, like
as
show
they
like how he's going to
games, right.
Right. Show how he's going to progress throughout the play preseason. I think that's their expectation. Their hope is that it'll show like, okay, well, this is where he started and this is where he's finishing. And, you know, the Bears are on their way, whatever.
Yeah. So the bullets I took here was Caleb. He was talking in that press conference and they were kind of showing some clips while he was talking, saying he thinks he's on track to be ready and he's excited. Reps are paramount. He said, I expect to not mess up. And then if I do, I get frustrated. So we get a long clips of him struggling and reacting to those struggles. And then, as John mentioned, the only thing I could think about was some dickhead in Minnesota tweeting that JJ McCarthy is like 75 for 82 in training camp. And I'm just like, who fucking cares, man? Like, what is wrong with you? That's like the guy with the fucking micro penis buying a giant Dodge Ram or something. It's the same thing.
Put him on a list.
Get
him on a list. Yep.
Beat it.
So, yeah, and I thought it was interesting how they were trying to play up the Eberflus Caleb relationship a little bit at the beginning. They're having the one-on-one in his office, kind of chatting, which was I don't know, it was fine. And then they bring in the aforementioned football demigod.
Yeah, here we go.
Well, I'm not sure
Nick
he knows
Saban,
where he is.
Another one they pulled out of the crypt. Yeah, one they pulled out of the crypt. They found him next to Ray Clay. Yeah,
he has aged quickly.
Before we go in on Saban, can we talk about the amount of pads Eberflus wore in college?
Absolutely.
He looked like Bane.
I'm sorry, but that era was so awesome.
As was the style at the time.
Yes,
but like it was a lot by 1990 standards. It looked like he had pads on top of his pads.
Well, Sam, the thing you don't understand, or at least you might understand, but I'm going to tell you anyway, is 1990s highlights now might as well be 70s highlights. They look that
I mean, it might as well be black and white.
It's horrible. It's so depressing.
Even though that John still watches the Neil Anderson run on a daily basis from 1988.
Correct.
not the Neil Anderson kick return. That's different.
That's right.
No. Just so many pads. Anyway, John, you want to share your Nick Saban thoughts? I have Nick Saban thoughts.
No, I don't really have Nick Saban thoughts. I mean, they could have done worse than bringing someone like him in, but they could have done better as well. Yeah, I guess.
It's great that like he and Eberflus still maintain a relationship all these years later. You know, when he first shows up, the first shot of Saban, I thought like this guy doesn't know where he is.
No, he was doddering as hell.
It's like I eat it.
He looks a little confused.
Halfway expected Kamala Harris to be sitting across the table from Eberflus.
Right. I'm almost wondering if Saban even remembers that he was almost hired as the Bears coach.
No, there's no
like chance. Did he even remember being there and being Jerry Angelo's guy?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
No.
I mean the building has been completely redone since then, but yeah, he has no idea.
No, he's never like, stepped foot in that place in his life.
I say this from a place of football stupid. And I recognize that Saban has 7 national championships and has coached 2 different programs to a national championship, even made Michigan State relevant. But when he's sitting in Eberflus's office, the first thing he says is, here's why rookie quarterbacks fail. And the first thing I thought to myself was, how many rookie quarterbacks did you develop? Like, he was a Dolphins coach for 1 season?
I don't know.
I remember one for sure, the 2006, because they were the Bears' first loss.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he lasted beyond that season. If he did, it was one more.
Like, I think he went running to Alabama right after. Or LSU. I can't remember how that order goes. But I think he was a coach for 1 season. It wasn't successful, and he fucked off.
Mm-hmm.
There's clearly a difference between coaching college and coaching the pros. Not many people get it both right, like Pete Carroll's kind of a unicorn in that sense. But I'm just like, I get he knows more about football than I could ever know about anything anywhere ever if given the rest of my life to study one subject. But it's just like, yeah, I kind of want to hear the thoughts of someone who's done it before I'm taking this as gospel, especially when you kind of look like you're lost. And you're still wearing your Alabama coat. He still has
what he was wearing in the crypt, Sam. They just pulled him out. You know, he didn't have time
buried
to
him in that thing.
Change. Yeah.
And for a guy who basically quit because, like, you can't bully the unpaid labor anymore.
Right. They make their own money. And you know, 7 national titles is 7 national titles. But at Alabama, you kind of just throw open the door and the best talent just comes in.
Well, as long as you're not a complete idiot, yeah.
As long as you're not a complete moron. And he's not a complete moron, but like here's why rookie quarterbacks go wrong. Oh, tell me what you know about it, Nick, given your long history of developing professional quarterbacks at the NFL level.
Long-time observer.
Long-time observer. He's definitely a long-time observer, and I'm football stupid, and I know if anyone who's seriously football-y is listening to this, they're going to tell me I'm a complete moron, and they're right.
Well, listen to this. He said, and I'll ask you your opinion on this, Sam, since you've got your peppers hot about Mr. Saban. He said you can't be a transactional leader. So, in other words, result-based outcomes are not the way to go. Do you take issue with that?
I mean, a little. You got to be able to play, right?
Yeah, I guess.
And he made reference to Caleb's NIL deals and the money he's already made and how he's already famous. And you can tell that's why he quit college football. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Everyone says Joe Montana was a raging asshole. No one cares because he could play. So the most important thing is that he'd be able to play. If Jay Cutler were Aaron Rodgers level of a player, would we care as much that he was a complete jerk?
I don't care that he was a jerk now.
I don't care that he was a jerk now. So it would help. It's nice that Caleb's teammates already seem to like him. I think that has benefits. But like, first and foremost, you got to make the throws.
Even if Caleb is not coming with me to the Hidden Cove or anywhere else for that matter for karaoke.
No, no, I didn't even really understand what happened there. Did the thing shut off? Did he forget the words?
No, he forgot the words and complete stage fright. I'm pretty sure that was a John Legend song.
But don't the word aren't the words right there? That's the point of karaoke.
Seems like it.
Yes, they showed them on the screen.
Anyway, Slack and John, continue your treatise.
I'm kind of like all over the board now because now this is where I get lost. I can't remember what came next. I think it was
the Eberflus glow up segment was next
because there was a glow up on your yellow pad.
Yeah,
the glow up was next. Yes,
glow up. So yeah, he did his hair. He's got the beard. His wife wants him to look like Ryan Reynolds for whatever reason.
Yeah, and, not gonna happen.
Too horny.
Too horny. And I'm intrigued at the fact that the Bears just have a barber on staff.
Well, of course they do.
Yeah, that's pretty standard.
I thought Marion Barber was in that room.
Yeah, that's another one that they locked away.
Well, not that I'm going to nominate myself a spokesman of the community here, but in
barber community,
no, of the black community.
Yeah, John, you know Marion Barber's not with us anymore, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's in the crib. Okay. They got him there.
But black gentlemen tend to like to get the lineup like once a week.
Well, you figure in most sports.
I think a team barber is pretty standard these days.
Oh, for sure.
You have to. We think about basketball. Those guys get haircut every day.
Like that? In the facility with his own little office.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, if I'm a staffer for the Bears, can I go in there and get my haircut? If I'm a sales guy.
As long as there's no one in there before you.
Yeah. If I'm slinging corporate sponsorship,
if I'm recently fired and used to work for John McDonough,
yeah,
you're tipping him. You're tipping the shit out of him.
Are you tipping him? Because he's an employee too. He's getting paid. He's probably getting paid more than he is.
You're tipping
as a sales guy.
Yeah, but you're tipping. But if you're a sales guy and you're not on the roster, you are tipping the shit out of him.
Okay, if I'm a sales assistant, am I still tipping?
Oh, I disagree with that, Matt. Actually, I think you leave the big tips to the guys making the millions. If you're a sales guy, you can just tip a normal amount.
But still, if you're getting it for free, you know.
So what?
I'd say 20.
Yeah, no, 20 to 50 is probably where you're at.
No, the players, like DJ Moore goes in there, he's dropping a couple hundred.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. The players are in there. I'm sure they're giving that guy a pretty penny. He doesn't need any more. I'm just a sales guy. I'm making 65K a year. And 80 if I've got a good year.
You're still getting a free haircut, John.
Exactly.
You're still making out on the deal.
That's probably a $75 to $100 haircut. You are tipping on what that amount would be.
I'm going to go ahead and say every NFL team has a barber space in their
clubhouse. Yes. Doing
except for the Chiefs. Okay. If you've read the NFL surveys, the Chiefs don't have that. The Chiefs have nothing.
Okay. All right. So the Flus glow up, that was next. Uh-huh. Then when we saw the Dyke Dog, is that what was the next scene?
We get to Jonathan Owens and his trip to Paris.
That was lovely.
We respect the Olympics in this house, and we respect Simone Biles in this house.
We do. And so they do at Alice Hall, too, because Eberflus said he loves America, and that's why they let Jonathan Owens go to Paris, which I don't think we gave flowers to Eberflus last week.
We did last
for
week.
For allowing that to even happen.
It's nice. The question I have is, do we know who the beat reporter is who asked him about it? Because there was kind of a tone of, like, why would you let this guy go? And Eberflus is like, the Olympics, why wouldn't I let him go?
That's probably Grody.
Question.
Let's go with Grody.
If his wife isn't Simone goddamn motherfucking Biles, if it's just like someone who's competing there, is he allowed to go? Is it not even a question as it was?
It depends. Name a sport in the Olympics that you would not give the, you would deny the request.
Dressage, because that's a horse medal. The horse should be getting the medal, not even the...
I mean, given the way Eberflus operates, I think anyone competing at the Olympics would be allowed to go. It's the Olympics.
Yeah, based on his answer, it seemed like he was pretty...
It's the Catalina wine mixer.
By the time the next Olympics rolls around in Los Angeles, I'm guessing Simone Biles' husband ain't going to be on this team. It's not something that comes up.
Okay, so this is something I've thought about multiple times since they showed him in the crowd so many times during the Olympics. What are the odds he makes the team? They're not 100%, are they?
Did you get a 2-year deal? I think you got a 2-year deal.
I think it's mean pretty anything. Safe. I don't. Yeah. I don't think that safety depth chart is that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I just thought to myself,
he's an NFL player, and they said like
he's still an undrafted free agent. Like he's not. You know.
If he looks really bad, he may get cut. Right. Like if he doesn't have a good preseason,
he'd have to stand out. Being bad.
Yeah.
I hate to say it because I want the best players on this team because I care deeply about their record, but I would be upset if they cut him. Don't cut Simone Biles' husband, please. Let me have 1 year where I can make this joke over and over again, please.
I want to see more dyke dogs.
More dyke dogs.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that segment ended, and we get to the big Canadian boy.
Oh, get him upstairs.
He's already done.
Get him upstairs. They got him upstairs.
Whose career is over. Yeah, he's out of here.
Career is over.
He did a little striptease in front of the boys.
Decent unit.
Did a striptease in front of the boys. Did a terrible karaoke. And who was our guy on percussion for that one, Andrew?
That was Kieran, I believe.
I think you're right. Yep.
The lineman, the new guy from Hinsdale.
That part was fun. you could tell that HBO was really hoping to. That was interesting that a lot of people had predictions as to who the character, the bubble guy.
Yeah.
That may get cut, may not. A lot of predictions flying around pre-show.
Yeah. And, they were hoping
nobody was even
him.
Right. Nobody was even close.
No.
So that was clearly the guy that they had earmarked as their guy.
Well, now they got to find a new guy.
Yep, they got to find a new guy because he did the splits on the skating rink in Canton.
Tore his dick in half. You can't do that.
Tore his dick
in half.
Yeah,
you know, that's a good point, John. You bring up a good point. That field was horrendous.
Yep.
And that could have happened to anybody. I'm surprised it didn't happen to more guys considering how everyone was slipping around.
Yeah, I mean, and you don't blame – I don't think anybody can blame Blues or Ryan on Houston for not playing anybody even remotely close to being on the regular squad.
Right. Except for Herbert, which.
Yeah.
Well, he ripped him to shreds after three handoffs and that was enough. They're like, okay, right. Yeah, he's against the threes.
Yeah.
Going to actual game action here, since we're that way in the linear storytelling of the episode, Roshan didn't really impress.
We kind of skipped ahead, by the way. We're not actually linear at this point.
Go ahead. What was next after that?
So what we did, they showed his little performance, and then they cut over to Rome stretching.
You got Rome
making some grabs, and then you got Keenan Allen making some grabs.
Oh, yeah.
And then you got the Panthers trade talk, which Liev Schreiber called it a coup for the front office. And then we get to Sam's Peppers heating up. They do the contract extension segment, and Kevin Warren makes Sam's ears blow smoke.
Multiple Rosen houses in the house.
Absolutely. Yep.
Multiple houses in rows.
I did not realize that was DJ's guy. Those were DJ's guys. So that was funny.
Longtime wide receiver agent.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I also thought DJ and Keenan have a nice chemistry. They look like good buddies so far. I think that's nice to see.
I think we're jumping ahead now here, but we're on the receivers. Was it DJ Moore when Caleb was commenting about the game that Colin Johnson was having in Canton? And was it DJ Moore?
That was Keenan.
That said, the room's pretty full. I don't know where he's going to fit.
Yep. Said he might stick around for a little bit. And Keenan's like, I don't know how many receivers.
How many are we keeping?
Yeah.
Keenan, sure who's that. Been around the block a few times, telling his rookie QB, this is how many receivers we get. And he's on the outside.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe that it's again. Now we're jumping around here a little bit, but
the game is next. I think we're in good shape to talk about the game.
But it's perhaps that's why Velas was taking snaps at running back because they said, well, we have an actual wide receiver here with Colin,
and who can tackle? You know, he can do other special teams.
He can do special teams. Yep.
Maybe
yep.
we should, as we get to the game, and maybe we should. I probably say this for the end about things we'd like to see in the upcoming episodes, but I kind of want to see. After one game next week, I want to see the special teams coach dealing with these new kickoff rules because now they've seen it live.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Now it's not state secrets anymore.
Yeah, right. I mean, obviously they're not going to give you that much, but like, just give me a couple like drills, shots of them working on stuff, talking about it, what they want to do, without giving anything away, obviously, because that's sort of that's going to be a story for every team. How do they? Who's going to be the first team that figures it out Like, this is okay. This is how we're going to do it.
Well, speaking of, I don't think we know yet, but speaking of figuring things out, we do have to talk about a segment that we skipped over a little bit here. after Tyson Bagent told us that he shares a birthday with Kanye West, and Brett Rypien made sure to say that he shares a birthday with OJ and Tom Hanks.
And Tom Hanks.
We kind of went into a backup QB battle focus here with Austin Reed, Brett Rypien, and Tyson Bagent, and then they started talking about these sliding drills. Now, I don't know if I'm the only one in this quadrant, if you'll, whatever the fuck you call four people, who immediately thought about Caleb Williams practicing sliding on grass and tearing his legs off. I was breathing into a paper bag the entire time. Like, this guy doesn't necessarily know how to slide. And then they bring out the slip and slide, and I'm like, this is, the season's over. This guy's going to tear up his whole body on the stupid slip and slide. He does a head first dive and like cracked ribs, out for the year. I hated that. That gave me a lot of anxiety.
That was Ozzie yelling at Mark Burley for going face first. Also, it's not rain delay tarp.
It's not really a slip and slide unless you cut yourself on the metal clips.
Correct.
You know, that would hold it down. Like, they had like a really nice one that was just like the mat and the sprinklers. Yeah, if you don't have like grass stuck to you and a couple cuts, it's not a slip and slide. Get out of here.
You said it. It just that gave me a lot of
Because Justin was so bad at sliding.
He thought he could get a few more yards. Tyson Bagent should be cut because of his tights. Get out of here with that.
What, the hair and the sleeve doesn't contribute to that?
Yeah, when he was telling everyone that he shares a birthday with Kanye, you know, he had the football, he basically had football shorts. And he had these white tights on. Get out of here. I don't want to.
Yeah,
no.
But that's that's what Justin's wearing now in Steelers camp.
Justin Fields is cool.
This is true.
Tyson Bagent is not. Get out of here.
Okay, so that being said, the sliding drill, getting nervous about that. We get to the game, and then we have the Eber daughters talking about Tyson Bagent's hair. Mm-hmm. Marcus Allen shows up, and
Allen shows up. Well, they obviously know each other from USC.
Yeah, nice little OJ connection there. Go ahead. Yeah. You were going to say about the
let people in behind the curtain because there's obviously a mad text thread going on during the episode. Those are basically my notes. I don't have to take notes. You guys do it for me. when they show the Eberflus family in the stands, he's just
the Eber daughters.
The Eber daughters. Every coach's daughter looks like this. And it's true. All head coaches' daughters, they all look like this.
They do. And John rightly calling out that they were recognizing defenses and talking about how you can't show the Texans anything because you play them in week two.
Yep.
You know, they do.
They're dialed in, man. You got to appreciate that. They're dialed in. But the focus is correctly on Brett Rypien and Colin Johnson's connections in the game. Let's see what else here. He missed a fade to Johnson, and then they said he's going to go right back to him, which he did.
I appreciated the Joe Buck, Liev Schreiber, Interstellar-esque dialogue that they were having between past and present.
Yes, that was fascinating. That's the next piece I was going to call out, is Joe Buck basically calling out Liev Schreiber, who then responded in kind. I don't think that's ever happened before, so Joe Buck sort of breaking the, I don't know, fourth, fifth, or sixth wall.
Is it
whatever.
The fourth wall? It's
I think there's a different wall. Yeah, I'm not sure which wall.
New wall, but
again, I think that's the first time that Hard Knocks has broken into postmodernism.
Right. Yes. It's self-referential for sure, and that's not a thing they do. But
so we talked about the Canadian getting injured. So much for that story.
He broke
time
his
to find
crutch.
It.
They got time him upstairs.
Find a new guy for next week. Hopefully it's Keith Randolph, but whatever. And then the Austin Reed piece. I got a little bit of a flashback when they talked about Austin Reed. They showed his parents sitting there clapping it up for every play. And I'm like, this is what it's like for these kids who are like,
I can imagine old man Cizlak too when the rain comes out.
Oh, man. Well, I've told the story before, and I don't think anybody's listened to every episode of this podcast, but
there are some, vividly, and they're currently listening right now on YouTube.
I would assume. Very vividly remember going to New Orleans for a preseason game that my brother didn't get into until garbage time.
Was he slated to get some burn, or was
we thought he was going to play earlier for sure? I was actually up in a suite with his agent, and JP Losman's family was there for some reason.
Was it Drew Rosenhaus?
No. It was
DeVito's agent from New York. And yeah. Ventura.
It was E from Entourage or whatever the fuck the kid's name is. Anyway, it was we were up there. We went back down, and it was the middle of the second half. My dad had drank probably 14 beers and was screaming. He was so pissed off at us for abandoning him while he was all pissed off about Brad not getting in the game. So that was a pretty... pretty good memory, but it reminded me because his parents, his family, they're sitting there, they're wearing their Bears shit, and it's like this guy is—he's not making the team. And right before that, the other guy you're competing with just went out and played his nuts off,
shredded,
the Caddyshack game of his life in the Lightning Storm.
Here's my favorite moment of the Reed segment of the Hall of Fame game.
So bad for them.
And like, Hard Knocks is not—it's not like hardcore football-y. They're not breaking down.
Right.
Technique or whatever, but like, you know, they show his one throw, and then Liev Schreiber's script says he looks like a natural out there. I'm like, he shuffled his feet, his hips were pointed the wrong way, you know, like the ball came out, like, it looked like a natural. He looked like he was about ready to shit himself. Like, he looked anything but natural on like a 5-yard throw.
No, it's natural for him, Sam.
Natural for him. Okay. Yep.
I appreciate Brett Rypien taking the white QB dorkdom of wearing your wedding band during the game up another notch by actually not doing the silicone gasket and actually wearing the metal out there. That's
a great way to break your fingers.
Yeah,
I would think.
Yeah. That's a smart choice when you're on the fringes of a roster.
Jesus.
All right. Well, then they have the rainstorm.
Yep, the game is canceled. Benedict gets hauled off on a fucking cart with a suitcase, like they fired him on the spot. And then then you get your closing shot of...
Don't bother getting on the plane, son.
Yeah, take an Uber.
You never. Owen's back on his couch watching Simone fall off the balance beam. So
Dipe dog paw.
And diped dogs. So all in all, it achieved its goal of getting me emotional about the Bears and... I'm excited.
Did anyone seriously watch the gymnastics competition?
No, I would say we watched a lot of it. Yeah,
you watched it. Okay, I don't. It was in the past couple of days. It was during the individual one event thing, not the all around. I don't know what the term is. And I was reading about it, and someone, maybe it was Lee, the U.S. who she bronzed in something, and they said the doctor 0.03 points for not properly saluting the judges after her routine. And I'm just sitting there going,
Oh my God. This is
why gymnastics sucks. Fuck you. Like, fuck off. Like,
I missed that part. That's horrible.
I was just reading about The Athletic, and like, you know, I am not here to tell you that gymnasts are not amazing athletes. They absolutely are. I saw Simone Biles' stuff, and it boggles the mind. But my problem with gymnastics and figure skating is that after these athletes do incredible things that only, you know, so like a handful of people on earth can do, everyone goes,
or in Simone's case, literally no one else.
Literally no one. And then they do that, and then everyone has to go, okay, let's see what these people think. And like, I can't get around that.
They should show them, I think. Like, they should show these people. I want to see what we're working with.
I know in figure skating, they've really tried to regimate it, that there's not a lot of room for interpretation or whatever, but still. Something that is decided on judging, I just can't. It's really hard for me. But that's another discussion for another time. Anyway. Gymnastics Corner. After Dipe Dog Corner, which is the new name of this podcast. anyway. So, yeah, that's pretty much the episode. Yeah.
That's it.
Anything left, John? Did you have any other notes? Home.
No, I think that was...
Did we lose John?
I don't know what else people were expecting.
Oh. Yeah, it's all pretty general.
Knew what you were going to get.
Yeah,
it follows the Hard Knocks script. It's just cool to see it in Bears colors. It's cool to see
the expensive
high production shots of the skyline. I always geek out for that because despite what we tweet out and what we say, all four of us are very proud Chicagoans. So it's always cool to see your city, you know, shown in a good light. is a team we all care deeply about, despite our despite what it means for our health. But yeah, it's every Hard Knocks you've seen. It just has a new sheen on it. Not a Matt Eberflus sheen. Get out of here. But it has a new sheen on it because it's in blue and orange.
Did people want like Ryan Poles to be acting like Brian Burke during the episode? Is that what they wanted?
What they wanted. He's wandering around the floor trying to generate trade talk so people will see him generating trade talk, which always makes Jay Zawoski weak in the knees. Sorry, Jay, but I've made fun of you about this before, so I'm going to do it again. I remember what I wanted to ask my three suburban friends. I have no idea what the population of Lake Forest is. What is the percentage of the Lake Forest population that is Bears or Bears adjacent?
Not as much as you'd think.
Yeah, no.
Is it pretty big?
It's big enough.
But they sprawl out. They get better value for their homes in Grays Lake and Mundelein, in Long Grove, in Lincolnshire, like that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, I have no idea what the housing is like out there. I don't go out there. I've rarely been out there.
In Sam can even point it to.
I think I could point out Lake Forest on a map. I think
Lake Forest has a population of 19,367 permanent residents.
Okay. Sam, you've been to Bannockburn many times. You're not far.
I've been to Bannockburn many times.
All right. So Lake Forest is right around there.
Bannockburn is way smaller. So is Mettawa.
As far as I know, Bannockburn is the veterinary specialty center that Slack and I go to and nothing else. It's behind Deerfield High School, and that's Bannockburn. That's it.
Yeah, there's that big grocery store on the corner.
Oh, and the Jersey Mike's that's behind the vet. that's Bannockburn too.
No more suburban Culver's trips for you then.
No, it's a new location, so I don't get a suburban Culver's. I get Jersey Mike's, although I rarely have the time these days. She only goes for like 20 minutes.
That's good news.
It is good news. Cool. Well, yeah, that is our live recap.
Did any of the Cretans joining us have anything for the game?
I'm not looking.
Yeah, I got it up here. There was not much. Prasnowski said, "Heidi ho, Nacarinos." Cominato said, "Let's go Bears!" Great episode.
Prasnowski have to go have an aneurysm about the Cubs game tonight or something. That's his thing.
They won.
And Crypto Fartcoin is obviously here.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Shout out to Crypto Fartcoin saying how close was Poles to eye rolling his way through Kevin Warren's on camera approval of DJ's new deal.
Address that.
Covered that in great detail as Sam always will. Don't worry about that. Kevin Warren's around. You'll hear about it.
You'll hear about it. I got thoughts. My peppers are hot.
But they're not big like Jim's.
No.
No, they're not. circling way back because it was the opening credits, I don't know if they do this for every Hard Knocks, but the fact that they had the John Facenda introduction of George Halas and the Bears the original NFL films. Now that got me going. That's what I'm like, okay. Because, you know, sometimes I get side-eyed about Bears nostalgia and all that shit, you know, that we get made fun of for, but I hear John Facenda talking about George Halas and the creation of the Bears, and I'm like, oh, no, let's go. Let's do this. Headbutting my dog or my girlfriend, whoever's around.
It's as good as it gets. Yep. The Sable era NFL films was just unmatched. Steve Sable.
We do have, and I'm wondering if this is John's beloved here, but we do have a chatter named Jess expressing love for Dipe Dog Corner.
I'm sure
it is. That's obviously John's betrothed.
Yes. We figured it out.
Can't be a coincidence.
Crypto also asks
the calls are coming from inside the house.
Crypto also asks if we're going to get a Kevin Warren prayer circle for the next episode.
See, I don't think that Kevin Warren is going to have a big part of.
You know what? After this That's episode, I don't think he will either. Right. But there will be a segment in one of these three episodes about the new stadium, and that will be his time.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
They will do some. Maybe it's the third preseason game that they play at Soldier Field, and there will be something in there about how the Bears have called this home since 1971. Someone check my math. And they're looking for a new home, and that will be when Kevin Warren gets to do his little thing. But it will only be a couple minutes. I don't think he'll be involved. If they're not involving the old doddering fool, the Mara, who owns the Giants, he's just in the room kind of wandering around when they're discussing the draft for the Giants offseason one. Kevin Warren's not getting a spotlight here. Not a big one.
We're gonna see.
But I'm still gonna point out the minutes he gets. Don't you worry.
And we will get a Ginny segment.
50-50 at this point, I think.
Well, I mean, does she go to the preseason games? She goes to the regular season.
No, they will probably go to her house in Des Plaines.
Does she live next door to Connor O'Malley?
Yes, and she lives she lives right behind the Choo Choo Diner.
Ginny won't have an interview. She won't have like an on camera interview though. She'll get a shot, and someone will. Maybe George will like talk about her.
Now I'm imagining Connor doing his videos outside in Ginny's backyard.
He lives in Des Plaines?
No, he doesn't live there, does he?
Ginny
lives there. Ginny does.
Ginny does.
Sure.
Connor joked about being from Des Plaines. Although
I thought Connor was a city kid.
I don't know. Nobody knows. It's better that way.
It is better that way. By the way, Emily bought me tickets to go see him when he's here.
Lovely, on the 20th.
A surprise, yeah.
Oh, that should be great.
That should be very fun. Late birthday gift.
Speaking of tickets, my Liverpool Aston Villa ticket was confirmed today.
Outstanding. Prepare to be upset.
I'm always upset, Slack. You know that.
I do.
Although in 7 to 8 tries, I've never actually seen Liverpool lose. All right, that's it. That's all we got for episode 1 of Hard Knocks. This was fun. I enjoyed doing it this way. Looking forward to doing it the next 3 weeks. We hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much. For those of you who are just listening as a normal podcast, thank you as well. Thank you for
You're not nasty in any way.
Not nasty in any way. That's someone else. It's a different thing. Right. Please rate, review, and share. Those of you who joined us live, tell your friends. We'll be back next week.
Are we going to do we got a handful of questions.
Do we?
Yeah, I threw it out there.
Okay.
Oh, let's do questions.
I apologize. I'm sorry.
It's too early to sign off, Sam. Damn it.
I'm jumping the gun. It's the whole live thing, John. It throws off my prep. Hit it.
And from the five hole.
let's do this in questions, and then we'll just immediately cut it.
Hard stop like a Nine Inch Nails song.
Indeed.
All right. Dave Melton, longtime guy, heir to the throne. worst existence, 2024 White Sox or Hawks from the early aughts?
Sox, for sure.
Sox.
Yeah.
Although they're in the same team picture, I would say.
But I don't know. It was bad.
Had an ownership that did not give a fuck anymore. Hated the fans.
Right.
Hated the team that they owned.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of similarities.
The Hawks were never a lot of similarities, the worst team in history.
I talk about this a lot. There's a difference between actual malice and incompetence. I never felt like Wirtz and the Hawks were tanking the team on purpose. They just did because they didn't know what they were doing. Reinsdorf they are tanking this team. They're just absolutely purposely driving it into the ground.
I think he truly believes in his cold black heart that Tony La Russa is the baseball visionary to guide them out of the muck and the mire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's why he's here in the first place.
That's why they had
He's baseball Pulford.
Yes.
Correct. So there's a lot of similarities
A lot of similarities, but
The Sox are definitely worse, yes.
This is historic.
Yes.
Were the Hawks ever historically bad? I don't think so.
No. Just hopeless and bleak.
Yep, yeah, hopeless, bleak, and no reason to ever watch them.
Sox are currently up 4-1.
Uh-oh. No!
Call your sons, call your daughters.
For the Sox, like when the Hawks were bad, you could at least like remember an era of Hawks hockey that was
entirely
good.
Different era.
Because the Sox have one season, basically, like 2005, and then...
Well...
The 90s, John and I will tell you.
Two damn years ago, damn it. They won the division.
With you in the stands yelling, Cub bitch.
Yeah. It's only 3 years ago that they won 93 games.
It's closer than I originally thought, but it's still the Sox.
Yes.
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 Also, circling back to... Ray Clay, Ray Crypt.
Good God. We got a Ray Crypt. A Ray
Crypt.
crypt question?
Yeah, kind of.
Did somebody create that name based on what we were talking about?
No.
Pulling Ray out of the crypt?
They will by like, next week.
Yep. First time caller, Ray Crypt.
No, it's sarcastic Mike asking.
Please, someone call the midday show on the score tomorrow. It's Ray Crypt.
Please.
Is there a song that makes Chicagoans want to run through a brick wall more than Sirius by Alan Parsons Project?
No.
No.
Absolutely not. Not a chance.
Not even Bear Down Chicago Bears.
No.
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 That's more celebratory. That's that's not like getting you ready for
something. That's not a pump up. Although going back to Hall of Fame, even though like obviously I don't think it's any of our particular styles, the Soulja Boy is probably up there for a lot of people in a younger demographic than us for Devin.
Although I'll tell you this, the version of Bear Down Chicago Bears that John Slack and I belt out together when the Bears win the Super Bowl is going to go down in history.
Wow.
Guaranteed.
I vote Youth Gone Wild, and I'm from Orland Park.
Yeah, but that was in a building with like 6,000 people in it.
And it was actually a good song, too. It was an appropriate song for that era. But no, Sirius by Alan Parsons is by far.
I will throw in, and this is only for one segment of town, Jump by Van Halen, because that'll get Cubs fans going.
Well, yeah, and that's the reply from Prasnowski.
Of course.
He's a psycho.
Well, he's our kind of psycho.
Mm-hmm.
All right, one more?
No, that's all we got.
That's all we got. Okay. Well, I did the sign off already, but for those of you who joined us live, please tell your friends. We're going to do this the next 3 weeks, and we'd like it to be a thing if possible.
Sons, call your daughters.
Yeah, indeed. Well, not your daughter, John, but so until then, till next Tuesday at 9, we know exactly when we'll be here. Top guys out. When I woke up, when I looked around, was all my dreams had melted into dirty puddles on the ground, on the ground, on the ground.